BBC Radio 4, where now it's time for our classic serial, Eugénie Grandet, part of Honoré de Balzac's The Human Comedy, a series of interlinked novels and stories that depicted French society from 1815 to 1848. This novel is set in the small French country town of Saumur in 1819. Rose Tremain's new dramatisation stars Ian McKellen as the ageing vine farmer Grandet and Anna Calder-Marshall as his wife, and Alison Pettit as their daughter, Eugénie.
It was on the day of Eugénie's 23rd birthday that everything began. I'm an ignorant peasant woman, a servant, but I have a sharp eye and I see all that goes on. Sometimes I wish I hadn't seen it. I lie in my little room under the stairs and I think to myself, Nanon, it was better that you hadn't witnessed that, because now it's upset you. And one of the things my master, Monsieur Grandet, can't abide is for anybody to go around snivelling. Nanon, he will say, for pity's sake, blow your nose and remember your blessings, or you'll be out in the gutter where I found you. I wasn't literally in the gutter, but I had no proper home and no work. Nobody in Saumur wanted to hire me because I'm big and ugly. But Monsieur Grandet took me in. When people criticise my master, I tell them, believe me, he has a kind heart. You might not guess it, but he does. He's stingy, though. Perhaps all vine farmers are stingy by nature. But I know that he's worth a fortune. I know it because I went into his office one morning to do some dusting, and there he was, asleep with his head on the desk. And I turned round and I saw that he'd left open the door to his strong room, and I looked in and, God forgive me, I almost fainted away. Gold ingots, jars of silver coins, barrels of copper. I couldn't believe my eyes. You know, the way he behaves, he's like a poor man with nothing to his name. On the morning of Miss Eugénie's birthday, I had to go and beg him for money.
Money?
Yes, sir.
For what? Oh, do stand up properly, Nano. Put your cap on straight. And tell me what you're asking for.
I'm going to bake a cake. I need chocolate, eggs, sugar.
God, I'll be bankrupted by you women, all for trifles.
A birthday cake isn't a trifle. I need 3 francs.
So it goes. Drip, drip. I'll be ruined before my daughter's 25.
No, you won't. Now, please, give me the money, Monsieur Grandet, and let me get off to the market.
There you are. 1, 2, 3. My God's teeth. I'm a soft touch. Now, send that daughter of mine to me. I've got a present for her. Tell her to bring her box of precious coins.
I will, sir. Thank you for the 3 francs.
All right, all right. Now go away now, Nano. You know, sometimes that ugly face of yours gives me indigestion.
She was still sleeping, my little angel, Eugénie. She isn't pretty exactly. Her nose is a bit too flat. But her face is soft and gentle in its expression.
To get up, Miss Eugénie.
It's my birthday. Is it today?
It certainly is. And I'm off to the market to get chocolate for a cake.
Chocolate? Did Papa give you the money for it?
3 francs. I nearly fell down in a faint. Dress yourself quickly. He wants to see you.
Is 23 quite old, Nanon?
23 is a lovely age. Now, here's your robe. Oh, look at your hair all in a tangle. Come here. I'll brush it.
I think it's quite old. Most girls of 23 are married.
Well, I've heard your father say there's nobody in Saumur good enough for you. Oh,
what's good enough mean? Isn't it just about love?
Hey, stay still, miss. I can't get the tangles out.
How do you fall in love, Nanon? How do you know?
Oh, don't ask me, pet. I've never known love. There. That's better. Now wash your face. Which dress are you going to wear?
I don't love Crusoe.
That lawyer? I should hope not. He reminds me of a rusty nail.
Or Adolf de Grasse.
He's just a big baby. But they're all invited to the lotto game this evening. Now, choose a dress. The blue one?
Perhaps it's better not to try to love at all.
The brown?
I don't mind. Which does Papa like?
Jenny, come to my study. Bring your box of coins. Hurry up!
He's getting vexed. Come on.
Lovely little treasure. You got here, Muffy. Worth a lot, no? Let's have a look, shall we? Ducats. Genevieve's. Rupees. My doors. See how they shine. Yes, it's a fair sum you've saved, thanks to your kind father.
I know, Papa.
Now, look what we've got here.
What is it?
It's called a Napoleon. Add it to the hoard. And you must always keep everything safe. Now, you know that, don't you?
Yes.
So, happy birthday, Eugenie.
Thank you, Papa. Is 23 very old?
What?
You're not going to marry me to Crusoe, are you?
Crusoe? That miserable temper-centre. Listen to me, my girl. You're the daughter of Monsieur Grandet of Saumur. Nobody will have your hand in marriage until I choose to bestow it upon them. Your husband will be chosen by me. And by no one else.
That's very good of you, Papa.
If any upstart in Saumur thinks you're my love, my treasure, you're all I have.
I know, Papa, but...
What's that thing on your head? Where did that come from?
Oh, it's a little cap Mama gave me. Don't you like it?
Women and their frippery, I don't know. Think you're all Marie Antoinette. Poops and puffs and God knows what. Now off you go. I've got my accounts to do. Take your coins. Give your father a kiss.
We need to light more candles, Madame Grandet. The room looks dark.
You're right, Nanon. And we should light the fire. I'll do it. We don't want our visitors to think we can't afford to keep warm.
I suppose they'll vie with each other to bring the best birthday present, Monsieur Crusoe and Monsieur Adolf.
Well, they're not bad young men. Lawyer and a banker.
Your husband doesn't think much of them. He said to me once, never trust professional people, Nanon. Keep your money in a sock.
Oh, yes. I had money once. A diary. And I kept it all in a box. And one day, the box was gone from under my bed. I just said to my husband, where is it? And he just said to me, you signed it over to the estate, madame, as a wife must. I have your signature in black and white. Don't trouble yourself about it again.
I suppose he was keeping it safe for you.
Or he's bought more vine fields or more trees with the money. Are those safe?
Well, I can remember the revolution.
Exactly. Is anything safe? I suppose we'll just have to go on as if it is and say our prayers.
What are you doing? Now, what is all this?
Lighting candles, sir.
Yes, well, snuff them out again. Just because it's your birthday doesn't mean we have to turn the parlour into a bordello.
Leave them, Nanon.
Are you defying me, Madame Grandet? I'm head of this household.
Please don't shout like that. It's very unpleasant. Ooh. Brings on my headaches.
Ooh, headaches? You'll get a headache from the burning temperature of the room if you light all those candles. And the fire. Who lit the fire?
I did.
I see. There's no end to it. What you women will do to spend all my money. I suppose you want to be poor, do you? Living in a hovel like you, Nanon, before I took you in.
It's beautiful in here.
Oh, see, husband, see what joy a bit of light can bring.
What's the matter, Papa?
Oh, nothing, nothing. You pour some wine, Nanon. Let's have a sip at least before the vultures arrive.
Vultures is far too strong. The Cruchots and the de Grassins are perfectly honourable people.
The only thing they're paying honour to is my gold.
What gold is that, sir?
You mind your business, Nanon. You pour the wine. Bang on time, of course. They don't want to miss a moment of free food and drink.
Shall I let them in, sir?
You finish pouring the wine. Come on, give me a glass. I'm parched. Ah, that's better. One of my best vintages, this. Happy birthday, Eugenie.
Happy birthday, my angel.
She is an angel.
Oh, happy birthday, Miss Eugenie.
Go on, get the door then, Nanon. They'll be battering it down. They make me laugh, they do. All in pursuit of a prize they're never going to get.
Grande, I sincerely hope you are going to be pleasant this evening.
Oh, pleasant? In life's comedy, madame, what place does the word pleasant occupy?
Well, I was merely saying I hope you are going to be polite.
Yeah. And do you like my dress, Papa? Do you like it?
Dresses, bonnets, tippets, bows. I don't see these trappings, my fee. I see only what pecuniary sacrifices lie behind their acquisition. And the sooner you learn the value of things, the better it will be for you. Now, what did you do with the Napoleon I gave you this morning?
It's in my coin box.
And where's the box?
In my wardrobe.
Oh, hidden behind the frippery. Well, that's fitting. Yes, that's fitting, at least. Here they come. Now for some amusement.
Good evening, Madame Grande.
Abbe Cruchot, how nice to see you both.
Grande, congratulations.
Oh, on what?
On your daughter's birthday.
Oh.
23, my word, and don't you look adorable, my dear?
Thank you, Abbe.
Well, come here, nephew. Give Eugenie your flowers.
Mademoiselle Eugenie, please accept these with my esteemed good wishes for your birthday.
Esteemed? Did you say esteemed?
Hush, Grande.
I hope you like them.
Yes, I do. I'll give them to Nanon and she'll find a vase.
Well, lotto again, I see. Is it my turn to call out the numbers?
Eugenie should call them out. It's her evening.
She prefers to compete, don't you, ma fille? Take a few pennies off the church and the law.
Wine, abbé?
Oh, certainly. Mm. The wine is always excellent in this household. Mm.
At its best now, this vintage. I've a good mind to part with some of my store.
Mm. Oh, you can't do that yet, Grande. Remember the wine growers' agreement? We all have to hold off until the price is right.
Damn fool agreement. The quality is what matters. You taste this.
Mm. Yes. Nice bouquet, eh? Mm. But that doesn't mean you can sell it. If one of us breaks the agreement...
I don't know why I let myself sign that stupid piece of paper. I've Belgian clients pestering me night and day.
We'll all be disadvantaged.
Oh, here come the bankers. Well, how's the law going, Cruchot? Nanon saw you this morning, scuttling somewhere or other, chasing another of your 10%.
You know 10% is universal, Miss Eugenie, across all law practices in France.
I wouldn't know anything about percentages, Monsieur Cruchot. I'm not sure I even know what a percentage really is.
Oh, the birthday princess. Many happy returns, Eugenie, dear.
Thank you, madame.
Good evening, everybody. Good all together evening. Again for Lotto. What fun. Let me kiss your hand, Madame Grande.
Monsieur de Grassin. Oh, do take some wine. Nanon.
Coming, madame.
Oh, yes. Adolphe has brought you something quite wonderful. Put it here, Adolphe, where we can all see it. What did you bring, Cruchot?
Some flowers.
Oh, flowers. Mm-hmm. Well, this is something exceptional. Mm-hmm. Come and see, Eugenie. Take the cover off, Adolphe.
Hope you like it.
Well, it's bulky enough. He's brought the Taj Mahal, is he? Oh, what's it meant to be? A blackbird? A thrush or what?
It's from India, sir. It's an exotic bird.
Oh, India? And why would you say...
Thank you, Adolf. I've never had such a beautiful present.
Why didn't you think of a wind-up bird?
Because I didn't, Uncle.
I love you, little bird. Wind him up again, Adolf. His song is so sweet.
Well, he scored with that one, eh, Grande? Oh. But they throw money down the drain, these people. A typical bankers.
Well, as long as it's down my drain, I've no objection.
Poor Crucio. Of the two suitors, I could tell he was the most sincere. He may have thought that Adolphe de Grassin would always be his only rival. But he was wrong.
54.
Yes.
It was near to 10 o'clock, just as people were beginning to tire of playing lotto and Abbé Crucio had fallen asleep in front of the fire.
What in the world is that?
Sounds like a criminal kind of knocking to me. Bolt the door, Grande. Everybody stay calm, leave it to me.
Be careful, Grande.
Well, at least it can't be the bailiffs. Not yet. All right, I'm coming.
Uncle, good evening. Forgive the late hour.
What? Who in the world are you?
May I come in, sir? The wind is very cold.
No, you may not come in. You please tell me who you are.
Charles, sir.
What?
Your brother Victor's son?
Victor's son?
Yes. He sent me here. He said, I want you to go and stay with your uncle for a while. As a favour to me. I know nothing more, I'm afraid.
God's teeth, I detest the unforeseen. Victor knows that. Why didn't he write to me?
Oh, he has written. I have a letter for you here.
Oh, it's all right, wife. It's just a boy.
A boy?
Nephew. Come on in, nephew. Bring you back.
I have two trunks. Perhaps you could send one of your servants.
Trunks? How long are you planning to stay?
Well, I don't know. Perhaps my father says in the letter.
Fetch Nanon, Madame Grande. The boy has trunks.
Nephew? Did my husband say?
Yes, madame. Delighted to meet you.
You're the son of Victor in Paris?
Yes.
Oh,
I see you have company. Mm. I am disturbing your evening.
Only a little party for Eugénie. It's her birthday.
My cousin Eugénie? Her birthday? Well, if only I'd known, I would have brought her a lovely gift from Paris. Where is she? Well, let me give her a birthday kiss at least.
There she is, in the parlour by the fire. Oh, give me your coat.
Nanon, Madame Grande, I'm not lifting those damn trunks. Nanon!
Yes, sir?
There's a mountain of luggage on the step. You better take it up and prepare a room.
Who's it for, sir?
My nephew Charles. Dumped himself on us without the courtesy of a warning. You'd have thought, in Paris, somebody would have learned a few manners.
A surprise arrival. Charles Grande from Paris, my husband's nephew.
Oh, my word. An absolute Lord Byron.
Our friends, the de Grassins and the Cruchots. We were just playing a little lotto.
Good evening to you all. Lotto. How very charming.
And my daughter, Eugénie.
The birthday girl. Eugénie, entrancing to meet you at last. I do declare you were a babe in arms when we last met, and I was a nasty little puppy dog. Can I give you a birthday kiss?
Can he, Mum?
Of course. He's your cousin.
Here's a little kiss for you.
The scent of wild flowers, the countenance of Ariadne. I am in love already. Hold my hand, Eugénie. Somebody bring me some wine. I have had a wild journey through the wind and rain, but now I am at perfect peace.
Here you are.
Thank you.
Did you bring Eugénie a birthday present?
No, alas.
Oh, well, never mind. Adolphe, dear, wind up Eugénie's bird so that Monsieur Charles can hear how lovely it is.
Yes, Mama. It's from India, you know. Nothing like it in Europe.
I don't believe anybody in this house slept that night. Even in my little cubbyhole under the stairs, I could hear Monsieur Grande pacing up and down in his study, up and down without stopping. For that was when the terrible news fell upon him in his brother's letter. He said to me later, That was when my head was put upon the guillotine block, Nanon. That was the moment I was slain. But we knew nothing of that then. All I knew was what had happened to Miss Eugenie, who woke me at 4 o'clock.
Nanon. What is it, my pet? You ill?
I'm cold. Can I get into your bed?
What? Not much room.
I don't mind.
Come on, then. Pull the covers over you. 4 o'clock. My word. You should be asleep.
I'm never going to sleep again.
What are you saying, my girl?
I love him, Nanon. Yesterday I didn't know what love could possibly be like. But now I do. Charles is the most heavenly creature I've ever laid eyes on.
Dear, oh dear, even in the dark I can see the smile on your face.
I shall smile forever. Just as long as he stays here.
Well, he's brought enough luggage.
Did you notice his voice? So soft and lovely. Not like people speak here.
And his courtesy, even to your old Nana. When I unpacked for him, he gave me 5 francs. 5 francs, eh?
His kiss was so gentle. And yet I felt that he really liked me. Do you think he could love me?
Oh, I don't know, my angel.
What's that noise?
It's your father. Something's troubling him. Back and forth he goes.
He wasn't very kind to Charles. If he's not kind, Charles might leave. What am I going to do, Nanon? I'm not nearly pretty enough for him, am I?
Didn't he say you were as beautiful as Ariadne?
I don't know who Ariadne is.
Nor do I, but I expect she's nice looking. Here, snuggle down. Try to sleep. You've got to look your best in the morning.
The breakfast table looks very plain, Maman.
Plain?
We should have some flowers on it and put the jam in a nice glass pot. My cousin's used to everything being beautiful.
Oh, I see. Like those beautiful ringlets you've curled into your hair?
Don't you like them?
They're very fetching, but... Tread softly, Eugenie. Don't go losing your heart.
Hi! Oh, not here, eh? Getting his beauty sleep, is he? God's teeth, I've been up all night and that little Parisian popinjay is still in bed.
Papa, don't say those horrible things.
Look, I expect he's tired from his journey.
I'm tired. Tired from what life throws at me. And now this happens.
What happened? Look, why don't you sit down, drink some coffee and tell us what is...
What have I done to deserve this, I ask you? I've lived a life without blame. I've scrimped and saved to keep my family fed and my vines watered. And now everything's going to fall to ruin.
We can't help you, my dear, if you won't tell us what has happened.
And I'll tell you what's happened. Suicide.
What can you mean? Suicide?
My damn weak-minded fool of a brother took his own stupid life.
Oh, God, in heaven, it can't be true.
It is true. Picked up a gun and scattered what few brains he had onto the wall.
Oh, I can't believe it. The poor man.
Poor man? Poor man! Oh, he's all right. He's lying snug in his grave now, not a care on him. He passed on his cares to me.
Well, what do you mean?
Debt, that's what I mean. That's the legacy he dumps on my head. A debt of 4 million. Bequeathed to me in a scrap of paper. 4 million!
You can have my coins back, Papa.
I curse him! I shall be ruined, and for what? For the incontinence of a spoiled and foolish man and his fop of a son. I've worked my hands to the bone for 60 years, and this is how I'm repaid. And he doesn't end there. He asked me to take the fop into my house and care for him. My days are to be spent raising money and spoon-feeding that dandy of a nephew. I could howl like a dog!
Oh, my God! Oh. Look, try to calm yourself. Here, take some coffee.
Calm myself? What are you talking about? How shall I ever enjoy a moment's calm in my life again? I'm going out. And when that popinjay appears,
You send him to me in the vine fields. He can learn the peasant life now.
Maman, how can this have happened?
God knows, ma fille.
We should be the ones to tell Charles. Tell him gently and comfort him.
We mustn't go against your father. That's him. Coming now. You're pale, Eugène. Just rub your cheeks a little.
Charles, dear, good morning.
Good morning, Aunt. Up early, I see. Good morning, Eugénie.
I hope you slept well, cousin.
Yes, capital. Not a care in the world.
Some breakfast, then. I'll call Nano. What would you like?
I don't know. Perhaps a partridge?
A partridge? For breakfast?
Oh, no, it doesn't have to be. Any cold morsel of game.
Nano?
Sit beside me, Charles. I'll pour you some coffee.
Ah, yes, coffee. With cream, if you'd be so kind.
You're cold, madame.
Yes, I don't suppose we have in the larder a cold partridge or a piece of pheasant?
Partridge, did you say?
For my cousin's breakfast.
Oh, Lord of mercy. Is that how he's been raised up? Game birds for breakfast?
No, doesn't matter at all. A chicken leg would do very well.
Yes, or a slice or two of ham?
Well, there's a heel of bacon.
Will that do, Charles?
With some eggs.
They all went into the birthday cake. Am I to ask Monsieur Grande for some money?
No, on no account. Make up what you can, Nanon, with the bacon.
Oh, heavens! Who broke the milk jug?
Just an accident. Bring a brush and pan when you come back.
I'm so sorry, Gus. So sorry.
Oh, my word, what on earth is it, Eugénie? Please don't cry. I can't bear it. Tell me what's upset you.
We received some news, Charles. Very troubling. But you must hear it from my husband. Drink your coffee.
Oh, yes, all right. I was just wondering where I might find the cream.
Uncle.
Yes. You see this row of vines? How many plants do you think there are in the row?
I have no idea, sir.
Well, count them.
Oh, well, I think about 40.
45. And there are 16 rows, so how many vines is that?
I'm not very good at mathematics.
Are you good at anything? Let me see your hands.
My hands?
Oh, white as an arum lily. Good for playing bzique, for counting money, no doubt. Here, you take my pruning knife and tidy up this plant.
What?
Pick it. Now, cut these stems. Yes, it's not easy, is it? And there are 720 vines in this one field, so you've got a long way to go. Do you think your hands are up to it?
You mean you want me to help in the fields?
You've got to earn your keep, boy, now. You're penniless.
What do you mean, Uncle?
That surprised you, eh? Never done an honest day's work in 24 years, have you?
I have, sir. I often help my father.
Right. Well, that's at an end now.
Why?
Keep cutting. Go on. Look at your pitiful pile of stems. There's nothing there.
Why did you say my work with my father is at an end?
Oh, yes. Well, because he's dead.
What?
You heard. He shot himself in the head.
My father, but I saw him the day before yesterday.
And there's worse.
Worse?
Debt to the tune of 4 million. That's your legacy, nephew. You're the son of a suicide and a bankrupt. My hospitality is all that saves you from destitution.
No. No, tell me it isn't true. Please tell me. How could this have happened?
Bear up, boy. Take it like a man.
My poor dear father. What am I to do? Where am I to go?
No, We'll see about that. The 4 million falls on me. We need the law to help us now.
First of all, you need to understand the difference in law between bankruptcy and liquidation.
What I need to understand, Crusoe, is how much of this 4 million I'm going to have to find.
We don't know yet. But let me explain. If we are able to persuade your brother's creditors not to file for bankruptcy straight away, then you'll be able to save your brother's name by liquidating his estate and bankruptcy may be averted.
Gambler's name? It's my name I care about.
Well, the Grande name. We should start by putting in hand the sale of the Paris apartment. Unless, of course, it's mortgaged, which is highly probable.
Mortgaged? Then what do we do?
You will have to convene a meeting of the principal creditors and make them an offer.
What offer?
To buy up their bills of credit, sir.
Buy? Buy? With what?
Your own money, Monsieur Grande.
You got 4 million? You're mad.
We know you're richer than you like people to believe.
God's teeth. I have a bit put by for my old age, and that's all.
Well, normally some accommodation can be found with creditors. You offer a percentage now.
You and your famous percentages. What percentage?
To be agreed between you. With the balance to be repaid at a later date.
Not now. No, no.
Is Monsieur de Grasnat, sir, demanding to see you?
I've come to tell you that I'm not happy, Grande. I just came from the Belgian retailers. They told me you'd broken the wine seller's agreement.
Monsieur de Grasnat, I assume from your inappropriate tone that you're unaware of what's happened in the Grande family.
What? What happened?
Tragedy, sir, no less. Monsieur Grande's brother has killed himself, leaving him responsible for debts of 4 million.
4 million?
I'm on the brink of ruin. What else could I do but try to raise a little capital from the sale of my wine?
I don't know what to say, Grande.
You could offer your condolences.
Yes, indeed I do. 4 million? Terrible. Ghastly. You must let my bank take everything in hand for you.
No, no, no. Our firm can handle it.
The bank will be of much more help to Monsieur Grande.
On the contrary, it's a matter for the law.
Oh, stop bickering. If you're going to argue, you can both take yourselves off and never trouble me or my daughter again.
How is your daughter, sir?
Weeping. Oh, but not for me. Holding the hand of the popinjay.
Who is it?
It's me, cousin.
Eugenie, oh, I'm so glad to see you. I keep trying to do my best to stop weeping, but every time I think about my poor father all alone...
Charles.
You must believe me, he was the kindest and most loving of fathers. If he'd only spoken to me of his troubles, he...
I expect he thought they were too great.
To be alone in the world without him, with a blight upon his good name. How am I to live my life now?
Listen to me, Charles. I know that all your world has been taken from you. But I want to remind you that I'm here, and I want to help you.
Eugenie, you are an angel. I knew it the minute I laid eyes upon you, but I think there is no help to be had from anyone.
Look, you see this box? I'll show you what's in it. Look. Precious coins my father has given me every birthday and every New Year's Eve for as long as I've been alive.
Oh, my word. A darling little fortune.
I don't know how much they're worth, but Papa says they're very valuable.
Sovereigns. Genevieve's, how extraordinary.
So please listen and don't say anything. I want you to have this treasure. It means nothing to me, but it may help you in the time to come. I want you to take it.
My dearest girl, you are the fairest of the fair nymphs. But I will not take your treasure.
Please. I want you to have it. Please, cousin. Look, they're just coins, quite dead to me, but they might save you from ruin.
I can't possibly take them. They were a gift to you from your father.
But they're mine now, and I can do what I like with them. And what I choose is to give them to you.
You must not. One day you may need them. You must keep them safe.
I'll never need them.
I'm cared for and have everything I could wish for, but you... you're all alone, with nothing.
Not quite nothing, I suppose. I have a few possessions which might raise a little money. A Breguet watch.
No, you must hold on to what's left to you. Charles, don't make me fall on my knees and beg. Take my coins. Hide them from the world. Tell no one. One day you can repay me if you feel you have to, but this is my free choice to give them to you. And I expect nothing back.
Cousin, I can't.
Look, I'm on my knees now. Do you want me to stay here forever? The floor is quite hard. Do as I beg you, cousin, and then both you and I will be easier in our minds.
Get up, my sweet. I will take the treasure on one condition. That you look after this dressing case for me in exchange. See here inside the lid, there are miniatures of my dear, dear parents.
Oh.
Keep them safe for me. Guard them with your life. And when I come back...
Are you going to leave us?
I don't know. I don't know what's to become of me.
You must be kinder to the boy Grande.
Kinder? I give him board and lodging, don't I?
Would you imagine if you had lost your father at that tender age?
Tender age? He should be working. And there is no comparison. My father was an honest cooper. Victor was a nincompoop of a gambler who chucked everything into the sewer, God's teeth.
I wish you would stop your swearing. This is a Catholic household, and I'm quite ashamed of the way you treat Charles with such harshness.
Ashamed? Look at him. There he is now, in the garden with Eugenie. Look at the two of them. I tell you, if my daughter believes for one second that I would let her heart be taken by that little Lord Byron...
It's already taken.
Huh? What are you saying, Madame Grande?
I am talking about Charles and Eugenie. They are in love.
In love? I won't tolerate it. A boy... who's never done a decent day's work in his life, a son of a feeble-minded speculator. He'll have to leave the house.
Yes? Where is he to go?
Well, he can go to Paris. Deal with the creditors face to face.
But he has no money.
And I have no money.
What about my diary? What became of that? You took my box, you made me sign a paper. But where has my inheritance gone?
Invested, madame. It wasn't that big a sum, let me remind you.
It was to me. And now I can barely clothe or feed myself and my child with what you give me.
Because I'm prudent. Because I think of the future.
But we live in the present. And every day, Nanon and I are weighing and measuring and scrimping and begging, and it's making me ill, I tell you, it's killing me.
You're not ill, you're a strong woman, you're a battalion, tough as an ox, your mother was.
I'm not like her, and I want some peace in this household.
Madame Grande, let me remind you that I've inherited debts of 4 million. Where under this insufferable burden is any peace to be found?
Eugenie found peace. She told me, Nana, it's as if all the sounds in the world are in harmony and all my days are bathed in music. I couldn't stop myself from saying, oh, Lord, do be careful, child. Love is a will-o'-the-wisp. Love is a rainbow that can vanish in an instant. But she wasn't listening. She was gliding on the river with her cousin.
I love the quiet of this place.
I suppose it is quiet. Compared to Paris. I've never been to Paris.
If I were rich instead of poor as I now am, I'd take you there. tell you what. I'll go to Africa or somewhere far away and make my fortune. And then...
I don't want you to go away, cousin. I'll talk to Papa. I'll tell him to be nicer to you.
He doesn't mean to dislike me. A terrible burden has fallen on him.
It's not only that. He doesn't want me to lose my heart to you.
Isn't that the man who's lost his heart to you? Over there, on the bank. Crochet.
You mean Crochet?
Do I? Crochet suits him better, doesn't it? What do you feel for him?
Nothing. Nanon compares him to a rusty nail. You can't feel anything for a nail. He's watching us, isn't he?
Like a hawk. Or rather, like a sad seagull.
I wish...
What?
I wish there was just us in the world. You and me. And the river. And the willow trees.
Scratch, scratch. Is that what you do all day in your bank, de Grasse? Scratch down words and figures. Well, thank God I have my vines and my timber. I couldn't abide the life you have.
No, you couldn't abide it, which is why you need me to handle your negotiations with the creditors. Sign this, please.
Well, suppose you mess it up, de Grasse.
I'm not going to mess it up.
You messed up the assets business?
No, I certainly did not. You cannot blame me in any way, Grande. I have explained to you that all the assets were mortgaged long ago. The Paris apartment, its contents, everything. There was absolutely nothing left. So now it's imperative that we get an interim agreement with the principal creditors to buy you time.
Time for what?
To fend off a declaration of bankruptcy. You want to save your family name, don't you?
I could murder my brother, but for the fact that he's already dead.
Sign this document, please, or I can't proceed.
You'd better take Crusoe with you to Paris.
Why?
Creditors are devious. You need someone with you who understands the law.
Well, I understand the law perfectly well, but that is up to you. Do you wish to pay for two of us to go, or only one?
Hey, I thought you were doing this as a friend. Hmm? For your son's sake.
What?
For Adolf's sake. Putting me in your debt so that I would look kindly on his suit.
I think we both know that his suit, as you call it, is doomed. Eugenie's only suitor is now her cousin. Am I not right?
Not if I have anything to do with it. Son of a bankrupt. Why would I give my consent to that?
You mean you would give Adolf a chance?
As good a chance as he's ever had. Is she like that mechanical saucer, whatever it was he brought?
Well, we shall see. I can't do these negotiations for nothing, but I could perhaps give you advantageous terms.
Advantageous terms? My God, you bankers, you made me sick. So bound up in your own jargon, I'm amazed you can any longer recite the ABC.
Sign the paper, please. I have urgent business awaiting me.
What urgent business?
Oh, it's really none of your concern. But I will tell you in confidence that the price of gold has risen, and so I am going to Angers to make a small exchange of gold for government bonds.
Ah, something interesting at last. How much has it risen by?
It's going up all the time. It will peak today or tomorrow, is my guess.
Right. No time to be lost. Give me the paper. Here you are. I'm putting all my trust in you, de Grasse. I hope you won't let me down. Wake up. Fetch Cornoy and tell him to bring the carriage. I want him to drive me to Angers.
Well, what time is it? It's pitch dark.
Never mind the time. Take off those rags you sleep in and get dressed and wake Cornoy.
Can't it wait till morning, sir?
No, it can't. I want to be in Angers by 9 o'clock.
What for?
Just do as I ask, Nana, and stop bleating. Ow! Oh.
Nanon.
What are you doing?
What am I doing? Well, if you want to know, I'm going to Angers to raise a little money so that I can keep you in partridges for a while longer.
In the middle of the night?
Time, my boy. If I've learned one thing in my long and arduous life, it's how to recognise when it's time to act. If your idiot of a father had
understood this, then perhaps... call him an idiot.
What else is a man who lets everything slip through his fingers? But never mind that. Now, you can help me here. I've got a heavy load to get downstairs. This lock basket.
Locks?
Yes.
Well, I can take it down for you.
Oh, well, right. Go on then. You try.
No, I can't. Why? What's in it?
I told you, money for partridges.
Heavens, Uncle, is it gold or what?
Get your hands off it. It's copper, that's all. Come on. Along we go. Just carrying a few logs downstairs. Go back to bed, Eugenie.
Shall I help you carry it?
Oh, no, sweetest one. You might strain yourself.
Sweetest one? Did I hear right? Well, let me tell you, both of you children, that things are going to change when I get back. Things will not remain as they are.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Angers on a little business, but I shan't be away long, so you better make the most of your time. And where's Cornoyer? Now, come on, nephew. Take your share of the weight.
I was always led to believe that your father had substantial estates outside Saumur. A place called Froidfond.
Oh, Froidfond. I was taken there once. It was all overgrown. I think it's let to tenants.
So you've always lived in this dark house?
Is it dark? I don't notice that, really. Except on winter evenings when I'm trying to sew and there are too few candles.
Here's a flower for you.
Oh, a primrose.
Is that what it is? I don't know the names of any flowers.
Oh, aren't there flowers in Paris?
Not little things like these. Everything in Paris is very bright and large and noisy, even the food. The dishes are huge and they're all flambéed in front of you with blue and yellow flames.
Blue and yellow flames? How thrilling.
It is. And then you weary of it.
I'm sure I wouldn't. I'm sure I'd be dazzled with wonder every day.
I want to take you there. One day I will. I swear I will. Can I seal that promise with a kiss?
Oh, I don't know. Maman might be at the window.
Please, Eugenia. I've been longing to kiss you with a lover's kiss ever since I arrived here. Don't torture me anymore.
Isn't Maman watching us?
No. Nobody's watching us. Come here. Now I love you more than ever. I've never met anybody like you.
I loved you the minute you walked into the room, that night of my birthday.
Oh, cousin, what can we do? Shall we defy the world and elope to Africa?
Africa?
Or China, anywhere far away.
Could we take Nanon with us?
Take Nanon? You are so adorable. Kiss me again.
Eugenie! Charles! What in the world are you doing?
Nothing, Mama.
Come inside, please. And Charles, go to your room. Your uncle will be back from Angers within the hour.
Oh, are you back, sir?
Yes. And I'm extremely tired.
Did you sell your coppers?
Never you mind what I sold or didn't sell. Where's the nincompoop? I need to talk to him.
In the parlour playing cards.
Oh, giggling like magpies.
Snap.
No, he's winning, Mama.
You have to be quicker, my love.
No cares. Cold, eh? Playing your child's games with foolish little smiles on your faces. Your father's death all forgotten, is it?
No, sir, of course not. We were just
Just? Is this just? That I'm a Paul Knight, travelling to Angers, try and raise a little money, and you're sitting by the fire, gambling with my daughter?
It was only a game of snap.
Oh, very well. It's snap to it, nephew. The Grassard goes back to Paris to talk to the creditors tomorrow. So, we need to catalogue all the assets, including yours.
I beg your pardon?
Where are they? In your room.
I don't understand what you want, sir.
I'll soon enough show you.
If it's my possessions you're talking about, let me tell you that I am putting in hand the sale of most of these to pay my own debts.
Oh, my father, my son, eh? You're 24, and you're already mired in debt.
You are shouting again, Conte. There's no need for it. It's perfectly honourable of Charles to wish to settle his own bills.
Honourable? Do you see any honour in this prim little countenance? Do you see wisdom in his look, intelligence in his eyes?
I see them. I see all these things. You don't see them because you've never spent a single moment trying to get to know Charles.
I don't want to know him. And now I have no need to know him. It's all arranged.
What's all arranged?
You'll soon see. Now, come up to your room, nephew, and show me everything you brought in those enormous chunks.
Grundy, this is not fair.
Of course it's not fair. Nothing in this sorry mess is fair.
Papa.
You, put away your cards. No more games in this household. Come on, nephew. Snap to it.
Poor Charles. He's done nothing wrong, Mamma. Nothing.
I know. He's paying a price for his father's shortcomings. And I'm afraid this happens in life sometimes. We pay for what others have inflicted on us.
You pay, Mamma. Look how thin you are.
It's a cold spring.
We must light more fires for you. I'll talk to Papa.
He won't listen to you.
What's going to happen to us?
I don't know, my lamb.
What are these?
Shoe trees, Uncle.
Made of ivory. Well, there's something I thought I'd never live to see. Put them in the sale pile. And what's this contraption?
A press for shirt fronts.
Good grief. I suppose Paris Emporia are stuffed with useless objects like these, are they?
I don't really know, sir. This was a gift from my father.
So that's what his money went on. Put it in the heap. And these riding clothes, you won't be needing those anymore. And what about that flashy watch you wear? Take that off.
That was a present, too.
Bought with Victor's money, then? Come on, take it off. It's a saleable asset.
I'm very fond of it. It was given to me for my 21st birthday.
Well, you're not 21 anymore. If you were, I might be more tolerant of your puppy dog behaviour towards my daughter.
You know I love her.
I don't wish to hear those words or any others remotely like them. The subject does not exist.
It does for me. And for Eugenie.
Well, you better get it out of your pretty heads. The matter is dead. What else have you got hidden in this room? Let me look under your mattress.
No, I have letters there, and you shall not see them.
Letters? Letters? What letters?
Letters my mother wrote to me when I was little, the only remnant of her that I have, and you shall not take them. I will kill myself before I let you take them.
All right, save me a lot of expense if you did, of course. Does my wit amuse you?
No.
No. Very well. Now let me tell you what I've arranged for you.
It was the end of all Eugenie's happy days. My master paid to send poor Mr. Charles to the other side of the world. Carriage transport to Marseille, then a packet boat to the West Indies. I didn't know where the West Indies were. Miss Eugenie found an old atlas of the world, and we trailed our hands across the blue seas until we found that little chain of islands. And Miss Eugenie wept and said, "They are so small, Nano, and the ocean's so great. He'll be swept away to his death." And I didn't know what to say. I just dreaded the morning, such a grey, cold morning, of the terrible departure.
Come on, then.
Don't keep us all standing about in the cold. Oh,
goodbye, dear aunt.
Oh, God be with you, Charles.
Goodbye, Nano.
Come back to us one day.
Cousin, sweetest girl. I won't say adieu. I'll say au revoir.
I'll think of you every moment of every day.
I'll write to you. Take care of her, Nano. Bake her chocolate cakes on Sundays.
I don't know about that.
Come on, come on. Enough twaddle. Get into the carriage. And for God's sake, brighten up, boy. You go poor, but if you return rich, you'll be able to turn your reputation around.
I will try, Uncle. Thank you for such hospitality as you were able to give me.
Bled us dry, you almost did. Not a partridge left on the whole estate. But you can pay me back.
Goodbye!
Goodbye, Charles!
One day!
Goodbye, Charles!
You can pay me back! Blow your nose, Jenny. Snivelling, I just can't abide.
In the first part of Eugénie Grandet by Honoré de Balzac, dramatised by Rose Tremaine, Grandet was Ian McKellen, Nanon Shirley Dixon, and Eugénie Alison Pettit. Madame Grandet was Anna Calder Marshall, Charles Blake Ridson, Des Grassins David Horowitz, Cruchot Harry Haddon Payton, Abbé Cruchot Geoffrey Beavers, Adolphe Arthur Hughes, and Madame de Grassins Jenny Funnell. Original music was composed and performed by Lucinda Mason Brown. The cellist and treble recorder player was Alison Baldwin, and the sound design was by David Chilton. Eugénie Grandet was a Goldhawk Essential production for BBC Radio 4, directed by Gordon House.
Australian High Court Judge Michael Kirby talks about the effects of chairing an inquiry into human rights abuses in North Korea.
I have to admit to you, I thought I was a pretty tough old nut, but on three occasions I just wept.
A new series of conversations with some of the world's most influential lawyers.
That's what human rights is fundamentally about, love for one another.
A Law Unto Themselves starts on Tuesday morning at 9 on BBC Radio 4.